just I shouldn't have to interrupt in the middle. You guys know Ari Feldman? You know Ari Feldman?
Cool.
Okay, so he should be walking in any minute. So we can just get the word out to him. If he could call his chavrusa Albert Horn, he may want to come. So he's on campus, so he can come. Okay. In our Chazara Vilchus Bishul, just by way of introduction, as I usually like to do, there's some important Sifri Ezer, as Rabbi Bleich likes to call them, Kitzes Forum, that both help be Mishani, the Limud, Al HaSeder, and also are very good reference works. So I'm sure most of you are familiar, especially in the Halach L'maisa topic of Hilchus Shabbos, what's out there, but I'm just going to review for the record. So in terms of a nice intermediate sefer between, on the one hand, Halach L'maisa applications, and the other hand, very comprehensive, going always back to the Gemaras usually even, Rabbi Eider, Hilchus Shabbos, very useful tool. This is the Chelek Dalet, which is the second of two volumes. Now I think they print it all together in one volume. So it's really kedai, even if you just want to read through the quickly on top, just the English, even without all the footnotes. Very solid Chazara, because he follows pretty much the order from the Gemaras to the Shulchan Aruch to the Halach L'maisa applications of Moshe Feinstein's Tshuvas. And with the footnotes, it's really a safer limud in parallel to the sugyas and kira. Also, of course, it's becoming very popular now, Rabbi Ribiat Sefer, four volumes. Also, with the footnotes, is certainly a chaticha ruy l'skabibo. And even just the English itself is many, many important applications as well. Also, an interesting treatment to the whole boiler shayla, which is, we didn't really get into. It's really a subcategory of Bishul, but taking hot water from boilers. I'm sorry? Whole treatment of that. Yeah, he deals with that also. Of course, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa is an old classic, except there, without the footnotes, you don't really get any of the whys and where to for. It's just, you know, Piskei Halacha. First two Sfarim I mentioned is written more as a blend together of the Mishnah and the Gemara, if you will, you know, the halachas and the reasons behind it. Then you have Rabbi Simcha Bonham Cohen's English Sfarim, Shabbos Kitchen, which is directly relevant to laws of Bishul and Shiyan Chazara. Of course, he has others in his series, the Shabbos Home 1 and 2, but that's more relevant to the other halachas of Shabbos. And there are others for him too, but these are the ones that I have used in the past and found very useful in enhancing what can be a very formidable and difficult limud. Okay. I'm going to try to take a more logical order in terms of progressing from Bishul itself down to the Shir of Yatzeleresbo, the Klei HaBishul, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, and then finally at the end, just to mention some halachos, some miscellaneous halachos that don't seem to neatly fit into the other pattern. Obviously, the Shulchan Aruch has his own set order, which is a logical order based on his own logical set. The way I'm going to present it is not sif by sif in Shulchan Aruch. Just in my own mind, I'm able to remember things better by placing several sifim together that I think go under the same banner. And I'm keeping with the pattern that has been established by the Kitzitz Forum that I mentioned before, that they do something very similar. I wanted to start with a topic that, outside of a certain klal, which we'll discuss, the Prima Gadim, wasn't mentioned at length by Rav Willig in the Chaburis. And also, just by way of introduction, to mention that, just based on feedback from previous years, in Bishul more than other topics, I try to take the opportunity when possible to at least give the highlights of the topics that were mentioned in Shiurim too. In Erevin, we stuck pretty much to the Mishnah Berurah. I didn't really discuss what the Chaburis. And as well, we'll do concerning the other topics also. But concerning Bishul, some of the Talmidim asked me to review some of the highlights of our Willig's Chaburis, so we'll try to do that as well. So start with Sif Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch, which is about Maisa Shabbos. There is a Machlokis in the Gemara in Shabbos, mentioned elsewhere too, between Rabbi Yehuda. Is it in Shabbos? Here the Shara, the Be'er HaGoyla says in Chulin, Ksuvis, and Baba Kama. Is it not in Shabbos at all? I don't know. I forget. The Machlokes near Behuda and Ermeir. Whether someone who did a Malach on Shabbos, whether it's Aser B'Dievet or not, and under what circumstances is it Aser B'Dievet or not. So there is a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in this regard. None of the Rishonim accept the approach of Yochanan Sandler, who holds that Maaseh Shabbos is Asur min HaTorah. We accept the approach of either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir, that Maaseh Shabbos is only Asur min HaRabbanan, because some kind of knas. But the basic machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is whether Kansu Shogeg Atum Ezer or Lon Kansu Shogeg Atum Ezer. So in the approach of Rabbi Meir, which conceptually is the simplest one, that if someone did a Maaseh Shabbos, Rabbi Meir did, so it's Asur. Meaning it's going to be Asur for the person who did it, and it's going to be Asur for everyone else, so that he shouldn't benefit in any way from his crime. So how do you make sure he doesn't benefit from his crime? That it's going to be Asur that whole Shabbos. And he's only going to be able to benefit from it on Matzah Shabbos. So here he thought that he'd benefit from doing it with Mezit, so come along to Chachamim and say an Allah to do it. Of course, you know, there's a Hashkafic aside over here. What do you mean? He did it with Mezit, so he's not going to listen to the rabbis who tell him not to eat it either. That's what you see. You have a Chatzi Avarian. In the middle, he does tshuva. So now he'll listen to the rabbis when they tell him that he shouldn't eat it. The Mishnah Berurah points out from the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch that here the Chachamim were not Goyzer Kadeshi Yasu as they were with respect to Maisa Shab, Maisa Nochri, that was done Amir Lenochri, because there, since it's more Kal, so Nimsa Kulo Chumro, that since it's more likely that someone's going to tell a non-Jew to do something for him on Shabbos, so the Chachamim insisted on prohibiting it Kadeshi Yasu, so they shouldn't get any time benefit whatsoever. So you told a non-Jew to cook a bagel for you on Shabbos, so you're going to have to wait till whatever, an hour or two after Shabbos, till they could have cooked that bagel, so you're not gaining anything from it. Legavi Maisi Yisrael, there's no such gzeira, at least generally speaking. We'll see when it comes to Shia and Chazara, there are exceptions to that, that sometimes we do aser it kedei shiyase. But when it comes to Bishul proper, so we do not aser it kedei shiyase. Matzah Shabbos is mutter miyad, according to Rameir, both lo, to the person who did it, and lacherim. Now here, as opposed to in Yeridea, where the concept of bitul is sachachila, so there the Shulchan Aruch is machmir based on the Gemara's that not all, when we speak about lo, it means lo and the one you did it for, misha nisbatil bavuro. But when it comes to Maisa Shabbos, pointed out by the Mishnah Berurah, so there lo means lo and acherim means acherim. So even if the acherim are the ones you cooked it for, they're called acherim. So with respect to Meir's position, there's no nafkamina, because when it comes to mezid, it's usher both lo and acherim. And when it comes to shogeg, so Rameir is of the opinion that lo comes of shogeg atum mezid, which means that b'shogeg it's not usher. So that means, if very bikula, most of the time we deal with shaylos of Maaseh Shabbos, we're dealing with shogeg, which the Mishnah Berurah points out includes shogag bedin, right? Which is the classic case. He just didn't know a certain thing was usher, or something like omer mutter, what the Gemara calls omer mutter, or you forget. So that's mutter. So according to Rameir, most of the case of Maaseh Shabbos is mutter, right away, both lo and acherim. However, although the Gra, based on Tosfos and other Rishonim as well, paskins like Rameir, but the Mechaber does not. The Mechaber doesn't even quote Rameir as a Yesh Omer. The Mechaber paskins like the Ram and the Rif, that the Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, that Maaseh Shabbos is usher not only b'mezid, but even b'shogeg. In other words, kansu shogeg atum mezid. That's why the Gemara, when it discusses this, it brings it up in the broader context of when do we say kansu shogeg atum mezid, or when don't we? So in any case, according to the Mechaber, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein lo, bein acherim, Maaseh Shabbos is aser. Within Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and I don't recall the sugi itself in terms of why this chumra is unique for Rabbi Yehuda, but that's true, that within Rabbi Yehuda, not only does he have a chumra of kansu shogeg atum mezid, but he has a further chumrah that in the strictest box out of the four boxes, lo, acherim, shogeg, mezid, he's machmir, lo, b'mezid, that the person himself cannot benefit from it ever. It's usher, lo, forever. So basically, according to Behuda, all the boxes are just usher ad mitzvah Shabbos, with the exception of the most stringent box, meaning for the person himself who did it b'mezid, then it's usher forever. So there are really two main differences between the position of Yehuda and Meir then. One is the whole shogeg column. According to Meir, it's all mutter. According to Yehuda, it's aser to Motzai Shabbos. And within the mezid column, the lo is aser la'olam, as opposed to Meir, where it's only aser even lo until Motzai Shabbos. Okay? So this is the Mechaber, as we mentioned, passing like the Ram and the Rif and other Rishonim as well, that Maisa Shabbos basically is Aser Beim Mezer and Shogeg, which of course is a big Chumrah, because most of the cases that come up again is Shogeg, and according to Mechaber it's Aser. So how do we paskin Halach LaMaisa on this? And Mishnah Berurah has an interesting Achra. He says that we paskin like the Mechaber, that the Maisa Shabbos is Aser even Shogeg. But, interesting lashon that he has, B'mokam HaTzorech, Yesh Lismoch Al Remeir, ultimately the position of the Gra like Remeir. So that's an important kula to know that I don't know I never had this quite clear. What's Shas Adchak? What's Mokam Atzorech? It's clear that Mokam Atzorech is less than Shas Adchak. Shas Adchak means, like, let's say it's your only hot food and something and you goofed and there's no way out unless you pass like a mayor. But Mokam Tzorech, I don't know, you have guests and all you can have is one hot food. So you have no, I don't know, you gotta investigate this. What exactly is called Mokam Tzorech? I don't have a clear cut. Indication on this, but my impression is that when the poskim use the phrase makom tzarech, that's less than shas adchak.
Is that, like,
yeah.
Like in general, like the cases, like when you're by other people and like embarrassed, you know, like maybe you're not there, be embarrassed.
Okay, I think that's a makom tzarech. I mean, Lanias Daiti, I think to not have to make waves that you're not eating something, I think that is a makom tzarech. It's a good point. A lot of times, as we'll see in a moment, you'll have another grounds for kula, because a lot of things people are doing are at least suffic usr. And that we'll see in a moment is much from a different angle. The Prima Gadim, quoted here in Sifkat and Beis in Mishnah Berurah, and this is something Rav Willer quoted extensively in the Chaburis, points out that since we do not paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Asanzla rolls the Maisa Shabbos Asim in a Torah, we paskin the Maisa Shabbos Asim in the Rabbanan. Whether you go with the approach of a mayor, or you go with the approach of Yehuda, but either way, Ma'aseh Shabbos is only Asamid Rabbanan, so we should have a right to say, Safik de Rabbanan Lakula. Meaning what? Not to be makel like a mayor, because that's, you have a Psaka, the Machaber, that it's, we pass like a Yehuda. But whenever you have a Machlokis, whether the particular Ma'aseh in question is Asar or not, even though some Rishayim hold it's Asamid Torah, and others hold it's Heter Gamor. So you have a right to say Savik de Rabbanan Lakula, that since according to some Rishayim it's Heter Gamor, meaning that you are allowed to do that act, so at least b'di'eved you would be able to say that it's mutter, whether you did it b'mezid or b'shogeg. This is the Klal Prima Gadim. So I just wanted to mention the Mishnah Berurah, loyal to Sifkat and Beis, which is mentioned all at the beginning, throughout Simen Shin Ches, as well as Reish Nun Gimel, always applies again and again and again this Klal Prima Gadim without constantly referring back to it, but any time there's a machlokis, basically it says mutter. So I'm sure I didn't cover all of them. I just tried to summarize for you. Basically, all the machlokisim that appear in Shin Yud Ches, pretty much all of on which, on every single one, the Mishnah Berurah comments that it's mutter b'di'eved. So we have a machlokis whether the Shir of Bishol. I'm just going to go through this quickly. We'll elaborate on them further in the future.
The Prima Gadim says that every time you have a machlokas.
In Psak, right. So then you can be Mekel. And then the Mishnah Berurah keeps quoting that Klal, without necessarily quoting the Prima Gadim by name, in pretty much every single machlokas that exists in Shin Yud Ches. So I just wanted to, basically all I'm doing is mentioning all the machlokas in Shin Yud Ches, and I'm just noting where the Mishnah Berurah says what he says. So first of all, we know that there's a machlokas whether you chaya for cooking from Machl Ben Drusoy to Kol Tzarko, between the Rambam and the Rashba. Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Chav Zayin, as well the Beir Halacha and Sif Yud Ches, Divrei Maschil Shenimtza, said it's mutter b'di'eved. So just a practical example of that. This could happen. Here you have a chalent pot with a blech, everything wonderful, and then you take it off, and you realize that it's not totally cooked. So you panic, and what do? You put it back. That's the wrong thing to do. If you realize while it's in the air it's not totally cooked, so now you're stuck, you should put it down on the counter, wait till it cools off, put it in the fridge. Because you don't want to put it back in the fire, because then you're violating Safik Issa Deraisa, according to the Rambam, from Machal Ben Ritzoy to Kol Tzarko. But a lot of times, in the haste of the moment, you don't realize it. And now you put it back. And then you might realize the next morning, when it's already, you know, nice and cooked. So Allah L'maisa says to Mishnah Berurah, that's mutter b'di'eved. Because you can rely on the Rashba. Mishnah Berurah Chaf Zayin. Now, parenthetically, let's say you discover it a second after you put it back. What's the correct procedure? Take it off. Because Bishul is a process malacha, right? Bishul you only violate once it's done. So that's the sugya at the very beginning of Shabbos. Davdalet or so, but hit big pas pitano, right? The proper practice, if you chop it in the middle before it gets to Kol Tzarko, is to take it off and not say, oh, well, be the evidence mutter anyway. No, take it off to save yourself from savachatas. But if you realize the next morning, it's mutter b'di'eved. Okay, then you have Bishul Ach, Bishul B'lach, Kayadua. It's machlokes between the Machaber and one day and the Ramah. Here again, the Shaar HaTzion in Os Kufches says that at least b'di'evit is going to be mutter. I think it appears elsewhere too, but it definitely appears there too. Shaar HaTzion Kufches. You have machlokes about Bishalach Rafia, says the Mishneh Berurah, again, Sivkot Memvov, that it's mutter b'di'evit. You have machlokes about, it's going to sound odd if you didn't see the Be'er Halacha on this, but there's a machlokes whether or not Irui, Kli Rishon, onto a liquid is called Irui or Kli Sheni. Sounds a little bizarre. We'll discuss that later. I take hot water and I pour it onto cold water. So classic sources would indicate that that's Irui. But there are days, the Be'er Halacha quotes from the Torah, that since it right away mixes, we view that as kind of like a Kli Sheni, because the hot water like goes in and then goes on the bottom, so it's like a Kli Sheni. Even though that's a machlokas, and l'halacha certainly also to do that. But b'di'evid, the Be'er Halacha points out in Sif Yud Beis, the Rimaschel Hu, that once again, it's mutter. The only time Irui is going to aser b'di'evid is when you're going to pour it on solids. When you're going to pour it into liquids, b'di'evid will be mutter. So here, Rabbi Willig noted, why don't you go a step further? Why don't you say that not only Irui from liquids to liquids should be mutter b'di'evid, but even Irui from liquids onto solids should be mutter b'di'evid, because after all, that's also machlokas haposkim. Three shitas in Yeridea, whether Irui is mevashel or not, and at least one of the shitas held is not mevashel at all. But the Mishneh Berurah didn't want to go so far. The Mishneh Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham in Sif Katan Ayin Dalit that it's aser, even b'di'evid. Meaning if you take hot liquid and you pour it on solid, uncooked food, it's going to be aser, even b'di'evid. So Rabbi Willig noted that the Mishneh Berurah himself seems to have been concerned with the anomaly here, which he quoted in brackets in Sifkat and Beis, where he says, I in Sifkat and Lamed Beis, which as Rabbi Willig noted, it's not the Mishneh Berurah Lamed Beis, it's the Magen Avraham Lamed Beis, where the Magen Avraham in Lamed Beis asers Irui even b'di'evet, and the Mishneh Berurah says, Sarachi and Katan. In other words, the way Rabbi Willig understood that, before that's the Pashtub Shat, that Hayos, that the Rashbam, and the Ramban, and the Rashbah, and other Rishonim also hold that Irui has a halacha of a Kli Sheni, not like a Kli Rishon, meaning it's not Mevashel. So why did the Magen Avraham ask him the Eved? So halacha l'maisa, notwithstanding the fact that the Mishneh Berurah was Machmir, Rabbi Willig thought, at least, here I'm not sure which phrase to use, b'makom atzorech or b'shas adchak, that one could be Mekel b'di'evid, like this klal of Prima Gadim, even with respect to Irui. So I wanted to mention, you have cases that come up quite often in homes that are observant, but they didn't necessarily go through the Shabbos kitchen or Shabbos home or Rabbi Eider and so on and so forth. So they'll do the following. They'll take a cup out of from the counter, rinse it out with cold water, glatt cold water, meaning what? Meaning not cold water that was heated up and then now it's cold. Cold water from the sink. And then they'll pour you a nice cup of tea from the urn. Yikes! What am I supposed to do then? So now you don't have the second cup of tea coolest to rely b'di'evid on those who hold that ain't b'shalach b'shalach, or maybe the chumrah doesn't even apply when we're dealing with drafts. Here it's mamash uncooked. So what do you say? So here you have two good reasons to be mekel b'di'evid. Number one, that funny Irui halacha we quoted before, that Irui on liquids, the Be'er Halacha writes, the mutter b'di'evid, and Rai Willig's ha'ara, that b'di'evid, we should be able to rely on the Rashbam. I was in a certain hotel and I was asking for a pitcher of hot water to be able to heat up a baby bottle, and the well-meaning proprietor of the hotel said, come, I'll give you some hot water. So he takes me into the kitchen and he pulls a pitcher off the shelf, a little bit dirty, so he rinses it out, do me a favor, and then he fills up, before I knew it, he filled it up with the urn. So I made a quick cheshbon and I thought that certainly be the evid, it's mutter. Irui Kli Rishon has halacha of a Kli Sheni, at least to the extent that it's not mevashel. So it's Irui is not mevashel for Shabbos according to the Rashbam. Rabbi Willig noted that Rabbi Eider, in answer to the Mishneh Berurah Sarachi and Katan, suggests that you can't apply that Prima Gadim to every single shita that existed. Like Rabbi Shechter pointed out, the Orchas Chaim Sepinka collects all the deists under the sun and Orach Chaim. He says you can find anything there. There's a certain mahalach imsak. And there's also, who are considered, players in a machlokis. If you have one shita against all the other Rishonim, it's hard to apply the Prima Gadim to that. So Rabbi Yair suggests that the Rashbam Shita concerning Irui is a Shita's Yachid, a Shita Dechuya. And therefore, that's why the Magen Avraham overrode the Prima Gadim. It's kind of hard to say. And I was assuming the Magen Avraham agreed to the Prima Gadim's Klal, which there are indications that he did, why he didn't apply it with respect to Irui, because the Rashbam is a Shita's Yachid. So I will accept, what kind of Shita's Yachid? That's many Rishonim hold that way. The Rashbam, the Ramban, the Rashba, it seems to be the Achros, Agro, and Yerodea. So that's why he suggested that at least B'di Evrit should be Mutter. Okay? You mean it might be Kli Rishon Mamish? That is considered Shitas Yochid. So that I don't think, I mean, you're saying it's like a Svek Svek Al-Khumra?
Right.
I don't think you have to, in this regard, I don't think you have to be Machmer that way. Because again, even though there is a Chazanish had a Raif Nagmar that way, but no one B'chsav really writes that. It's a Chazan Shpia Shmua, and the poskim, all the classic poskim, they all assume Pe'echot, that it's the same as a Irui Kli Rishon. But it's an interesting Ha'ara, though. But here again, you have that other Be'er Halacha to rely on, you know, the Irui of Mayim Utoch Mayim. Okay, I didn't get a chance to find where the Mishnah Berurah says this, but I think it's Mod Mistaber to apply this. And I thought I saw Befeir. If someone who finds it, please let me know. With respect to a Klisheni. We'll see later that a klisheni, we have, at least Ashkenazim, have a lot of chumras in a klisheni. But there are certainly days that it's mutar berevach, unless it's a known kali habishul. So at least b'di'evet, if you put things that you weren't supposed to lecharchila put into a klisheni, b'di'evet will be mutar. Again, I think the Mishnah Berurah makes that point explicitly somewhere. In preparation for the Chabur, I didn't get a chance to find it. But either way, I think it's mustaber on its own. Certainly that will be true with respect to Tavlin. Mishnah Berurah doesn't quite discuss this, but we know that there's a machlokis bein poskeis manenu. Tavlin is mutter in klisheni. What kind of Tavlin? Thick Tavlin, thin Tavlin. So even those who are machmir, you shouldn't put thin Tavlin in, but it'll certainly be d'yevet, it'll be mutter. And finally, Davar Gush. The Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Kuf Yud Ches. Whether a Dov Agush has the status of a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni, even if you're Machmir that it has the status of a Kli Rishon, but b'di'evit, you can consider it to be a Kli Sheni. Parenthetically, that could serve at least a backdoor source for the fact that a Kli Sheni is mutter b'di'evit. Because when the Mishnah Berurah says that b'di'evit, if you put something on a Dov Agush, it's going to be mutter b'di'evit, he doesn't qualify what you put on that Dov Agush. He doesn't say it's only like water or things that are definitely mutter, or tavlin that are definitely mutter in a Kli Sheni. So this is just, basically all I did is go through the machlokes and the shifshin yurches, and I'm just noting that the Mishnah Berurah consistently is makel b'di'evit at least. Okay, let's now mention one other halacha within the rules of Ma'aseh Shabbos, and just to chazer over again that I mentioned this in the packet, but Siv Beis, which is more halachas of Ma'aseh Shabbos, but it doesn't directly relate to Bishul, so that's not on the Chomer. So when you're reviewing, you could gloss over Sif Beis, except for your own limud. One thing I did want to mention, which is the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Aleph, Sif Katan, one of the Sifim Tanim here. Sif Katan Gimel. He quotes from the Gro, a very important leniency concerning Ma'aseh Shabbos, and that is whenever the malacha in question is only a malacha derabanan, so you have a right to be makel b'shogeg. In other words, even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Ma'aseh Shabbos is also not only b'shogeg, but also b'shogeg, but when we're dealing with an issur derabanan, so then you could be makel b'shogeg. They have a raya from the Rambam like that, because the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, but when it comes to issurim derabanan, such as tefilas kelim on Shabbos and so on and so forth, the Rambam is makel b'shogeg. So the Gro explains that b'shogeg on a derabanan lo kansu shogeg otomezid. B'mezid, it would have the same halacha, whatever yeshita is. Rabbi Yehuda would aser it lo forever, and lacherim ad mitzoy Shabbos, and Remeir would aser it for both till mitzoy Shabbos. But b'shogeg, it's mutter b'di'evit. So here I wanted to note, it was very confusing to me till I got it straight. Shehiyah and Chazara are exceptions to the rule. This is true by most Isurim Derabanan. But when you get to Reish Nun Gimel, you'll see from the Mechaber and the Ramah, mostly the Ramah really mentions these particular halachas here, there the rules are different. That even B'shogeg gets Aser. So that's not against this Gra, it's just that You see from the sugis in the Gemara that Chazara and Shehiyah have separate chumras with respect to even Shogeg, Ma'aseh Shabbos, even though those Yisurim are only Derabanan. So for example, let's say you carry something in a karmelis. So that would be an example of this gra. B'shogeg will be mutter b'hanah. Parenthetically, the Be'er Halacha raises an issue that maybe carrying b'chlal shouldn't be a problem of Ma'aseh Shabbos because you didn't actually change the davar itself. But that's not so pashut that that's true. So even if you're going to be machmir in general, that carrying is subject to the rules of Ma'aseh Shabbos. But if you only carried it through Rishus Derabanan, and nowadays many poskim assume that all we have is Rishus Derabanan, right? That's the previous section. So you can make at least be the Eved. I'm sorry? He quotes the Chai Adam, and then the Chai Adam himself hedges him. So, again, they use that as a sniff, definitely. So I think...
Like opening the fridge of Shabbos.
Yeah.
Now,
you mean, and you cause the electric to go on?
Yeah.
But that might be the prima godim, because many hold you'll have to open it while it's off, because only a grumma. You're not talking about a light goes on, right?
That?
You're not talking about a light goes on. You're talking about just I'm opening the fridge and causing the motor to go on.
I was thinking the light
goes on. Oh, if the light goes on, that's a separate issue. That
you couldn't have opened the light goes on.
Yeah, but there you could, but you're not benefiting from the light. Just that I think the post came there.
The only way I'll be able to get it is exactly like Havara.
That's where the psikh resha. I have to think that one through. Let's say you take a classic case. Pick a malacha, any malacha. Could you give me a malacha derabanan? Do you have a derabanan with borer? Usually, yeah. Let's say you use a knon and a tamkui to do borer for miyad. So that's a b'di'evad albi mutter, according to the Groh, if you were shogeg on it. Okay. Let's go back now to the beginning. Bishul. So again, we're going to try to blend together the Shulchan Aruch together with the Chaburis in one Sholent. Okay. The Mechaber in Siv Dalid, which is the... Siv Gimel, Siv Dalid, which is the main Sifim dealing with Bishul per se, points out that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Okay. So what is the definition of cooking? So when one takes a look at the Mechaber together with the Mishnah Berurahs and putting it together what was stated in the Shiurim, so certainly to go from zero, to meaning from uncooked, to Machal Ben Drusoi is Asa Min HaTorah. And surprisingly, I think that particular halacha appears, where was it, in Avodah Zarah? Leo, I think it's an Avodah Zarah, that halacha, that doesn't appear in Shabbos. The fact that when you go from zero to Machal Ben Rasoi, that's a violation of the rights of Shabbos. It's a feirish in the Gemara. Surprisingly, I don't think it's a feirish in the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara and Shabbos discusses Machal Ben Rasoi in the context of Shehiyah and Chazara. But in any case, it's awesome in a Torah according to all Rishonim. Now, what about going from Machal Ben Rasoi to Kol Tzarko? So this is a machlokis, as was mentioned in the Chaburis, between the Rashba, who holds it's mutter, and the Rambam, who holds that it's aser, min haTorah. The Mechaber and Siv Dalid pass back the Rambam, that it's aser min haTorah to go from Machal Ben Rasoi to Kol Tzarko. In other words, for the Rashba, the definition of Bishul is going from an inedible state, or a raw state, to an edible state, even if that edible state is only a Shasat Chak, edible state, which is exactly what Machal Ben Rasoi is. Parenthetically, even though it's more relevant to Hilchas Chishin HaChazara, that's a Machlok Zishonim, whether Machal Ben Rasoi is half or third cooked. Right? Rambam holds a half, is it? And Rashi holds a third. That's more relevant to Halacha LaMaisa with regard to Shehiyah, because the Ashkenazi Pesach is one to Machal Ben Rasoi. You could be Mashit without a Blech. So there you really got to know that Shehiyah. Here, we pass back the Rambam, so it doesn't really matter, except for maybe with the Evids. With the Evids, you can rely on the Prima Godim, that although Yohar Ara is a good one. Let's say you go from a third cooked to fully cooked. So you have a Svek Svek El Chumra. Maybe it wasn't even Machal Ben Rasoi, and even if it was, maybe Rambam's right. So okay, I have to investigate that, whether you have to be Machal Ma'aseh Shabbos in that regard.
Rashba says it's mutter to go from Machal Ben Rasoi?
Yeah.
Or he says it's
mutter. Now, as we mentioned, the Mishnah...
Rambam is also Deraisa.
Rambam is also Deraisa, right. A lot of times in Lomdus, you know, when you're trying to analyze Rishonim, we have a klal. We don't want to be machik from machlokis, but when the Rishonim do it, they do it. They said, Beferish. Now it is true, the Be'er Halacha later, I don't want to discuss this too much, but the Be'er Halacha later notes that there are some Achrayim who hold that even the Rashba agrees that there are Bonan, you're not allowed to go from Machab and Asoy to Kol Tzorko. Even leaving aside the problems of Shia and Chazara, that there's an Issamid Rabbanan to go from Machab and Asoy to Kol Tzorko. Not everyone agrees with that. Some say, according to Rashba, it's Mahet Gomer. As long as you're following the proper rules of Shia and Chazara, no problem to, you know, take the chalent off the fire, serve it, and put it right back, even though it started out being Machal Ben Rsoi when you started doing that. But the Rambam prohibits it, and that is the Psak of the Machabers. Here we mentioned already earlier, but the Eved, you can rely on the, at least if it was already called Sarko now, so you can rely on the Rambam. So here, take a little tangent to mention the following. What kind of foods, this is from the Chaburs, what kinds of foods are bechlal that isemi deraisa to go from raw to kol tzorko? So certainly foods that are inedible. The mechaber in sif yudal, excuse me, the Rama in sif yudalid writes that the same is true for fruit or any other foods that can theoretically be eaten raw. And the Be'er Halacha, excuse me, the Shaar HaTzion in os kuf yudalid is noted to say that that's an isem in HaTorah. In other words, that prohibition of going from Ruah to Machal Ben Rasoi, which is an Issam in HaTorah according to everyone, is true at being Issam in HaTorah, not only if the food is inedible to bringing it to a state of at least B'Shas HaTchak edibility, but it's true even if you're just bettering it in some way, where you're taking it, in the language of Mr. Ruah, that you're Mashbiach it in some way, by taking it from Ruah, even though it's edible Ruah, to Machal Ben Rasoi. And this is something Rav Willig elaborated upon at length in the Chaburis, because the Rambam, in stating that Ein Bishel Achar Bishel, which means what, according to the Rambam? Ein Bishel Achar Bishel, according to the Rambam, means once something is called Tzarko, because for the Rambam, as long as it's not called Tzarko, there is Bishel. But once it's called Tzarko, that there's no prohibition in the Torah against cooking it again, and assuming you're not putting it directly on the fire, so on and so forth, violating Shia and Chazara laws, so then it's not even going to be an Issa Midi Rabbanan once it's called Sarko. So the Rambam puts that halacha of Ein Bishel Acha Bishel together with a Davar She'ein Sarach Bishel Klal. That both of those is not an Issa Midi Torah of Bishel. Meaning, if you take something fully cooked and cook it, or reheat it, It's not Issa Midi Torah. And if you take something that ain't Sarach Bishel Klal and reheat it, that's not Issa Midi Torah either. So, of course, that smacks in the face, at first glance at least, of that Shaar HaTzion, together with the simple reading of the Rama from a Mordechai, that you can't cook raw fruit. So the Shaar HaTzion explains, and I really thought this was the Pashtus, that what the Ramba meant by Davar She'ein Sarach Bishel Klal, it doesn't mean in terms of edibility that you could eat it without the bishul. But rather, what he meant is that it's the type of food that heating it does not in any way make it better in any way. A baked apple, a cooked apple, people consider it to be better or a different flavor than a raw apple. But taking a substance, the Gemara, I think, had a havamin about this. It's hard to give a good example on this, but the Gemara had a havamin about shemen, that maybe you're not chayef for shemen and bishul because once it's already oil, so what are you doing by heating it? You're not bettering the oil. I mean, you're allowing the oil to now serve as a vehicle for cooking. But by heating the oil, you're not really doing anything. I think the Gemara backs out of that with respect to shemen, that you can be chayef of bishul on shemen. But something like that. I always feel very flustered at this point. The chabur is, so give an example. The Rama meant something, right? So give me an example of something that ain't sarach bishul klal. What do you mean? But they isn't that a they sell what do they call those mandarins? No, aren't those cooked? Don't they cook those? And they fruit cocktail. They cook the oranges. No, so some of these people like cooked oranges. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the kind of sheets around that. It's not a beautiful without the visual.
I thank you for mentioning that. I originally was going to forget to mention that. The Mishnah Brura, and I will ignore this in the Chaburis, the Mishnah Brura, you would like it to be someone, you know, more on the page, but the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Mama Mordechai in Sivkat Nun, that taking something from Kol Tzorko to higher than that, meaning to make it more delicious, but it's already Kol Tzorko, totally edible, so that's not Bishul at all. Not only is it not Bishul Deraisa, it's not Bishul Derabanan either, so provided you're not violating Shia and Chazara laws, it's totally mutter. Now, why that is a good shaila. That's why Williams' article has a little paragraph or two on that. It wasn't really discussed in the chaburis. Whether it's the chuli alma, there are those who are machmir. But the Mishnah Berurah does not quote any machmirim on that. It's also ma'isim chol yom that people will do. Well, cold potato kugel and warm potato kugel has not been stomach v'yafalo, because your kugel is getting worse and worse as you reheat it each and additional time. The nafkamina would be if you take a cholent that's totally cooked, the potatoes are cooked, the beans are cooked, the meat's cooked, very delicious, but people don't want cholent, a chili soup. They want cholent to be a glob. So that's only going to happen in the overnight cooking. But on Friday night, if it's already fully cooked and you want to taste from the chalent and take it off and put it back on, that would be an example of where you're putting it back in a matzav where it's going to be mitzdamek v'yofalo. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, it's totally mutter. I cannot say if there are any machmirim on that. Rav Moshe Feinstein is nota. It sounds like from his words that he held that that's also midrash rabbanan. But I don't know. It's my Willick thought that we don't follow that chumrah at all. Yeah. Right, because what's the pshat? He can make it better. So he's also making it better. Right. In Svara, it's not so easy to explain why there should be mutter. Especially if you go with the Rambam's approach of even making it better from Achav and Nesai. Okay, so let's get back. So again, according to the Rambam, so he says, Davar Shein Tzarich Bishul Klal. The Shaar HaTzion pointed out that it's also in a Torah. So how could he say Davar Shein Tzarich Klal is mutter? It means where the Bishul doesn't affect it at all. However, not everyone read the Rambam that way. Amongst those who did not read the Rambam that way were the Mekeres HaMishnah, the Radvaz, as well as, it sounds like, the Birka Yosef, at least Misafek, in that same Shaar HaTzion that we just quoted, Kuf Yudal, where the Birka Yosef has a Suffolk, whether or not, let's say, something as basic as water, whether you're Chayiv Minatara for cooking it. Now, although the Gemara clearly states it's usher to do, but it never says chayiv, so according to the Shaar HaTzion's reading of the Rambam, and actually within the Rambam, it's beferish, because the Rambam writes, HaMechameh Metz HaMayim is chayiv, which is one of the proofs that the Shaar HaTzion has, that the Rambam didn't mean something that could be eaten raw, because water certainly could be drunk raw, and the Rambam says explicitly concerning water that you're chayiv for that. But at least leaving aside the Rambam, maybe in other shittas is a possibility that you could be putter for cooking water and for cooking, let's say, fruit, etc., things that could theoretically be eaten raw. So there are those who hold that way. Certainly, halacha l'maisa, we would be machmer on it, because it's at least asim midrabbanan, and probably even asim minatar. So what I will have suggested is the following. Conceptually, the Rambam listed both of those together. And maybe what the Rambam's telling us here, is putting it all together, is that Bishul is either taking something inedible and making it edible, or taking something edible and making it more edible. Of course, we're going to have to say, but you plateau at Mevushal Kol Tzorko. That's called as edible as it gets. Ah, but you can make it better. Or you can make it better by adding in spices too. But we don't consider that to be Bishul by Mistamik V'yafalo. So that means to go from raw to machab and asoy is bishul. Why? Inedible to edible. To go from machab and asoy to cold sarko is bishul. Why? Because from edible to more edible. So if that's the case, you take something that is ain't sarach bishul klal, according to the definition of the Shaar HaTzion. Take water, edible. But now I want hot water. I want it to be more edible for me in my setting. Or fruit. I could eat it raw, yes, but I want to make it more edible for me. So that's also I want to be mashbiach it more. So that's also an issur min haTorah. So what that the common denominator of that seems to be that it's talui on mitzius. In other words, in the reality, am I making it better or not? Even though halachically it already has plateaued at machal ben rasoi, I was already chayev for bishul. But nonetheless, I give a chayiv for more too, because we're mitzias, I'm making it better. The Rashba, Visiato, I think the Ramban and others, the Be'er Halacha quotes, many Rishonim hold that way. That's why he's very confident to say that at least b'di'evit, it should be mutter. He even raises an issue, how come the Mechaber didn't even mention these other opinions? Because there's so many Rishonim hold that from Achav and Nesai to Kol Tzarko is mutter. But nonetheless, the Mechaber is mach like the Rambam. But according to the Rashba and the Ramban, So Machal Ben Rasoida called Sarko is Bipshuto Heter Gamor, assuming you're not violating Shehiyah and Chazara laws. So what's the Svara there? But Lamais is getting better. So according to Rashba, you'll have to take a more brisker definition of Bishul, Halachic. Bishul is taking something from inedible and making it edible, meaning that's Machal Ben Rasoida. Once you have made it edible, so halachically it's called Mivushal, and then you apply the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. So to go from Achal Ben Rasoi to Kol Tzorko, even though you are changing it b'mitzius, but you are not changing it in Halacha. Again, it's not muchruch to say this, but it could very well be that a similar kind of structure is at the root of the machlokis, whether Yesh Bishul Achar Fiyah. On the one hand, you're making it better. On the other hand, it already is Mivushal. Now the reason I don't want to box it in is because Pashtus or the Rambam, he doesn't mention anything about this, is that Ein Bishul Achar Afiyah, even though he's the Metzius one, right? He's the Rishon of Metzius. So it doesn't have to be Mochruch, but at least in Svara, there's a certain parallelism here. So based on this, what Willock suggested, that there might be a few Nafkaminas, some La'alacha and some at least in Havana. The first Nafkamina is the Prima Gadim's Suffolk, about taking something that is Mevushal Bechama, which we'll discuss more at length in a moment. It was cooked by the sun, which halachically was not considered a violation of Melech HaShabbos. And then you want to cook it again on Eish. So what we have here is that halachically it wasn't cooked. And Mimitzias-wise, it was. So that's like the opposite of the Rashba Rambam. When you have Machal Ben Rasoi, that's halachically cooked, but Mitzias, there's still room for improvement. Mevushal Bechama, the Mitzias, there's no room for improvement, and halachically, it wasn't cooked. So it's Ken Zayin that it could be that according to the Rashba, if you take something that was cooked in the sun, and you cook it on the fire, it will be an Issim in a Torah, because it was never halachically cooked. Whereas if you go with the Rambam, since the Mitzias it was cooked, so it should not be a problem. So even though we don't really cook in the sun, but it might have an afkamina for microwaves. Because the Poskim Manenu, obviously, had a dispute whether microwaves should be viewed as Bishul Be'esh, because it's normal, or whether it should be viewed as Bishul Bechama, because even though it's normal, but it's not Esh. And Rav Willock thought that the Rov HaPoskim go against Rav Moshe in this regard, that it's considered not on the fire, has an afkamina for Bishul Akam also. And therefore, he suggested, putting this all together, that since according to the Rashba, it might be Yasmin HaTorah to cook something that was cooked by the sun, so too it might be Yasmin HaTorah to cook something that was cooked by the microwave on the fire. So that's what he wrote, that he wrote in the article, that if you heated up something in the microwave before Shabbos, it wasn't cooked before, you really shouldn't put it on the whatever you're going to use to warm up food again, because you might have a problem. Keep it there from Friday, so this way you won't have a problem. But to put it there on Shabbos might be a problem. So in the past, people have observed, and correctly so, that, well, wait a second, but the Mechaber passing like the Rambam. So if you're passing like the Chumr Sot Rambam, that you can't go from Machal Ben Rasoi to Kol Tzorko, so why can't we follow the Kula Sot Rambam to go from microwave to Eish cooked? So I will have noted in the past that, yeah, the Mechaber was Machmer like the Rambam. Does that mean he totally ignored the Shita Sarashba when the Rashba is going to turn out to be a Chumrah? Maybe not. We don't necessarily have grounds to say that. So that's why La'alacha, he thought it should be Machmer in that question. The other Nafkamina, which is really more one in Havana rather than in Metzius, is how do you understand why you're chayiv for melting metal? Mishnah Berura, in Sifkat Nalef, he summarizes an introduction of Bishul about what you're chayiv for Bishul for. So one of the things you're chayiv for Bishul for is making metal glow or melting it. But every metal is cooked originally, and it's making into metal because you're eliminating all of the rocks, etc., and the impurities. That's why it's called mateches, I will ignore it, because it's melted down. So it's melted already. So why don't we say, ein bishul acha bishul? So according to the Rashba, according to the Rambam, it's a smooth sailing. Because with Metzius, you're doing something significant. You take a bar of metal and you're melting it down to be able to make an earring. So you're making it better, in a sense, that now you're able to shape it. But according to the Rashba, that it's dependent on halacha, so I already cooked it. So why should I be chayiv the second time? Says the Egle Tal explained. This is like I said, a nafkamina havana. Obviously, Rashbo agrees. You're chayv. It's a Gemara. So for the Rashbo, you'll have to say that even though there's something called halachically cooked, but there's also something called ozalei bishulo, meaning something could have been halachically cooked, but if the original effect of the original bishul has evaporated, has disappeared, so then you say ozalei bishulo. So with food, once it's cooked, I cooked the chicken, so now it's edible. It doesn't retrograde into raw chicken. And even with soup, we'll get to later, but if you're going to go with those Rishonim, hold your aim bishlach bishul belach. So now it's soup. It's not clear liquid with a chicken floating in it. But with metal, once it pulled off, and so it's back to being metal. So therefore, even the Rosh Hashanah would agree that you're chayv cooking it again. Again, that's an afkamina havana. Everybody agrees, you're chayv. Just according to Rambam, it's smooth. According to Rosh Hashanah, you have to add this new principle of Azalei Bishula, which will come up later as well. Okay, a little bit about Bishul Bachama, which we parenthetically mentioned before. Mechaber and Shishin Yilches, Seif Gimel points out that, of course, you're not allowed to cook Al Ha'esh, you're not allowed to cook Betoldo Se'esh. An example of that is, of course, a hot piece of metal or a Kli Rishon that's not on the fire anymore, but something that was cooked by the fire, that's Toldo Se'esh. When it comes to Chama, so we have the following distinction, that you are allowed to cook in Chama, directly in the sun. You can put food out in the sun, even if it reaches Kol Tzarko, which is quite rare, but if it did. Someone mentioned as a curiosity, can I set up a contraption with a magnifying glass? I believe that, believe it or not. But you certainly can put it out directly in the sun. But Toldo Sachama is a problem. Why the distinction? Because Midr Rabbanan, they prohibited Toldo Sachama because Toldo Sachama might get mixed up with Toldo Sa'ur. But Chama Be'esh Lo Michlef. Everybody knows the difference between fire and sun.
Is that a methodic problem? Or like Zera Mishum or Zera Mishum?
The phraseology is if you're going to come to cook in Toldos Chama, you're going to come to cook in Toldos Lower. I don't know exactly how to formulate it. So this is, of course, the debate, which is not our discussion for now, about whether you're allowed to use Duchemish on Shabbos. The Israeli Duchemish. Can you draw water from it? Because, and the basic machlokus is to what extent should we consider it as Chama, to what extent should we consider it as Toldos Chama. There are other issues, too, involved in that debate, but that's the main issue there. So Ayin, especially Yabi Omer and other sources that discuss this at length. Okay, let's now turn to a discussion of Bishul Belach. We discussed earlier in our discussion of Bishul B'Yavesh that there's a principle called Ein Bishul Achabishul, which means once it's cooked, halachically, you don't violate Bishul again, which is Machlokas Rambam Rashba, at what point does it plateau out? Does it stop having bishul at Machal Ben Rasoi, or does it stop at Kol Tzarko? What about Lach? So here, this is a famous Machalok Rishonim as well. The majority of the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ran, maybe the Rambam. Why do I say maybe the Rambam? Because they usually box the Rambam together with those who hold Ein Bishul Chishul B'Lach. But there's a Rambam concerning Mayim that makes it sound not that way. So that's what I'm a little hesitant to put the Rambam together with anyone else. And Rashi. Rashi, in a famous pshat in the beginning of Masechta Kira, quoted by the Rosh, writes that Yesh Bishlach Bishul B'Lach. And here, the Mechaber was machmer like Rashi, even though he's probably in the minority. Parenthetically, I'd love to shut off the tapes, but it's too complicated to do, so I'll just say it on the tape. So, Rav Willig Shlita is known as a big machmer when it comes to Bishul. But I just note that he pretty much followed the pattern of the Mechaber. The Mechaber is machmer in everything when it comes to Bishul. Apparently, with the Suri Skila, so there's a certain hesitancy to be makel, even against, even when the majority of the Rishonim say one way. Because if you count numbers, the majority of the Rishonim say, like Rashba probably, that Machal Ben Rasoi Kol Tzarko was not Bishul. And the majority of the Rishonim say, like the Ramban and the Rashba, that Ein Bishlach Bishul B'Lach. But yet, the Mechaber was Machal on both. So the Mechaber apparently, he started a pattern of Chumrah when it comes to Nyani Bishul. In any case, getting back to the programming. The Mechaber in Sif Dalid is Machmer like Shitas Rashi. So here, I'm going to present it a little bit differently from the way it was presented in the Chaburis, but the same thrust. What's Pshat in the Machmirim, and what's Pshat in the Mekilim? So now, let me mention a little more. The Mechaber in Sif Dalid is Machmer. The Ramah in Sif Tesvav quotes the Mekilim. And he himself, meaning the Rama himself, makes a achra that you could only reheat something in a mutter fashion. Again, I won't repeat it again, but when I say to reheat, I mean in a fashion that doesn't violate Shi'an Chazara, when it's at least lone it's done in Lagamri. So there are really three sheetis when it comes to Bishlach Vishabalach. Machaber is totally machmir, if it's not Yad Seletisbo. The Rama quotes a total makel that even if it's ice cold, as long as it's cooked before, you could reheat it. And this Beinoni Shita, which he paskins la'alacha, and that's the Ashkenazi Minig, as long as it's lone it's done in Lagamri. So leaving aside the Rama's Pshara for now, what's Pshat in the Machmir and what's Pshat in the Mekilim? Well, the Pshat in the Mekilim, that's pretty straightforward. Let me backtrack. The Pshat in the Machmirim, that's pretty straightforward. Because unlike chicken, where once you cook it, so lo ozale bishulo once it's cold, because what's bishul basically making it edible, and once it gets cold, it could still be eaten. That's why, for example, I should have explored this more, but I didn't get a chance to. But that's why you can make a good case that ketchup, at least fundamentally, even if you're going to call it lach, the fact that it pours, but it should be called yavish in this regard because you eat it cold. Now, Rav Shechter noted, but that's against all the Sfarim. All the Sfarim treat ketchup as a liquid. So that's probably some kind of low plug. That somehow we're machmir across the board by liquids. But in Svara, ketchup is really a solid in this regard. Why? Because lo azle bishulo. Again, I want to research that further. It sounds like a very big chiddush, right? But in Svara, it makes perfect sense. Same thing with fruit soup. You eat fruit soup cold. So let's say for whatever reason I want to reheat the fruit soup again. I don't know why you would want to, but let's say I would want to. So l'chora, that should be yavish-like. But again, l'maisa, don't go ahead and doing that. But it could be it's a low plug. That we treat. I'm sorry.
It can be true by any sauce from your food.
Also. Okay. Yeah. When I said ketchup, that opens up the whole door. All many sauces. Some sauces you wouldn't want to eat cold, but.
Even though the food is generally hot, meatballs and
tomatoes. Okay. Those are all good points. So okay, that needs more exploration. Maybe glean that by next year. We'll try to add that to the arsenal. But at least in Svara. So. That's the Svaras HaMachmirim. When it comes to, because when it comes to classic liquids, water. So I heat it up for tea. Now it's cold, so it's not good for tea anymore. Soup. I heat it up. I want to eat hot soup. Cold, I don't want to eat chicken soup. And so on and so forth. So I have some kind of chili, a broth or something. I want to eat hot, not cold. So when it gets cool, it's Ozalei Bishulo. Just like we quoted earlier, according to Rosh Bava Metal, right? Ozalei Bishulo. So here too, Ozalei Bishulo. I'm sorry? Yeah, B'metziyot it's cooked. But so
soup that was cooked is not compared to a soup that was never cooked before.
Right, true. So even though in terms of a chemical change, whatever, physical change that occurred that's never going to disappear, but it's Ozalei, let's put it this way, even though it's low Ozalei Bishulo in terms of its degree of cookedness, I tried to invent a word in the past, it didn't work this year either, but preparedness, but state of preparation, state of being cooked, but it is Ozalei Bishulo with respect to edibility. That's the Shitas HaMachmirim. And the Shitas HaMakilim is exactly what Albert just mentioned. You measure it in terms of its degree of preparedness. This chicken soup is low Ozalei Bishulo. Because right now, all I would do to it is reheat it. I'm not cooking it anymore. It's already fully cooked. So the fact that it cooled off, say the Mekilim, who include the Ramban, the Rashba, the Magen Mishnah, etc., that it's lo Ozalei Bishulo. But I'm not going to eat it now. So what? All I have to do to eat it is reheat it. I don't have to recook it. So therefore we say Ein Bishlach HaBishul. Yes?
No, but how does the Rashba fit in what you just explained for the metal?
Because in metal, everything, metal. Everything's
no,
Ozalei.
No different than chicken soup. Then.
Because it's not mixed in with the rock, he's saying anymore.
Hey,
got to work that out. I was realizing as I said it that you have to work that out. I can't think on the fly. I'm not Rabbi Soloveitchik. I was able to put his head down for 20 minutes to come up with the right answer. You know, to some bomb. I have to think that through. But in any case, so this now helps explain why several of the Gedolei Achronim, the Prima Gadim, on the one hand, and the Abnezer on the other, and I don't want to go into all the details because I don't want to dizzy people, but Bekitzer, they suggested possible chilukim between different kinds of liquids. liquid such as chicken soup, where at least partially lo azalei bishulo, because it's still cooked, and liquids such as clear liquids, like water, or, one second, yeah, okay, water, whatever, orange juice, etc., milk, where once it's cooled down, so show me the effects of the bishul, totally gone. It's not more prepared. Bacteria. Okay, well, we'll come back to that in a second. But leaving aside the pasteurization issues, that's why the Prima Gadim suggested such a chiluk that maybe even the machmirim would only be machmir by clear liquids, water, fluids, extracts of fruit, but maybe not by soup. The Prima Gadim said it one way, the Avni Nezer said it the other way, in terms of whether everyone's makel on one side, everyone and the machlokes on the other, or everyone's machmir on one side and the machlokes on the other. Bottom line, though, if you machmir, we hold a machmir across the board. And if you makel, we hold a makel across the board. Rav Ari Jacobson Shlita pointed out to me that there are Rishonim who say explicitly that with respect to water, ein bishlach bishul. The Ran writes so explicitly, ein bishlach bishul, in water, and other Rishonim do so as well. So that lack of chiluk that the Prima Gadim made is already mentioned by the Rishonim. So the question is why? But the Svar is a Gevaldige one. And it's why don't we say that when it comes to water, everyone should hold yesh bishlach bishul balach? Or maybe when it comes to chicken soup, everyone should hold ein bishlach bishul. So the answer, I don't know if he stressed it so much this year, but in previous years, I pointed out, Rabbi Eider basically says the same thing. Basically, as follows. When it comes to chicken soup, those machmirim hold that it has to be lo azalei bishulo bichlal. So even though it's lo azalei bishulo with respect to the cooked state, but it's azalei bishulo in terms of edibility. But what's more difficult to answer is how come there are those who are makel with respect to water that ain't bishlach bishul? So here's, sorry? Right, but not only that, it could be edible both ways. But once it's, even if you go with the shaarat siyun, that the chayiv min haTorah for cooking it. But once it gets cooled, so it's like cold water. What's the difference between heated water that's cold and totally cold water? So here, what's your name again? Yeah.
Ira.
Ira just mentioned. So this is where Rabbi Ira already quote the first one to mention this, I believe, was the Avni Nezer. That it's the eglital, that yadua b'refua, that a change occurs in water when you cook it, and that change doesn't, at least not readily, go back. And l'chora, what he was presaging before his discovery, was bacteria, that you're killing off the bacteria. So what did we say by chicken soup? That the mekilim say that the effects of the bishul aren't going away so fast, even though it's not edible. So the Mekilim say, that doesn't always depend on ability, as long as the cooking's still there. So same thing with water. You cooked it, you killed the bacteria, now it cools off. So, you know, Willig noted that sometimes people sell bottled cooked water. It's not taken from springs, it's just cooked water. It's a processed. Milk, especially, is pasteurized, orange juice, so on and so forth. Now, it could be reinfested with bacteria, but that'll take time. So this might be the reason why... the Mekilim, Amekel all the way, against that Prima Gadim's possible chiluk. Okay, so now, that said though, getting...
Even though you're killing the vitamins also as well?
Okay.
Bain
Legreves, Bain Lechum, Bain Lechula, but you say you made a change. Yeah. So, that said though, so now let's understand, let's go back to the Shita HaMachmira, that holds Yesh bishul achar bishul belach. So what did we say? Azalei bishulo. Let's analyze that a little further. I took water, I put in chicken, I boiled it up, now it's green liquid with the soft onions floating all over the place and chicken's all over the place, and it's never going to go back to what it was originally. So why is it azalei bishulo? What's the answer? Because it's not edible. Now what do I got to do to make it edible again? I don't have to cook it, I just got to heat it. So that, and this is where Willig noted that, again, I might be phrasing it slightly differently, but the thrust is all the same. Those who hold yesh bishul achar bishul belach are basically saying that you chayev not only for bishul, but you chayev for chimum. If that chimum is a significant chimum, meaning it's a chimum that's making it not edible to edible, even though it was already cooked before, I'm also chayev. So that's why Willick phrased it, that those who hold Yesh Bishlach Bishbalach, if you want to be more precise, probably the way to phrase it is Yesh Chimum Achar Bishal Balach, because that's really what you're doing. The Mekilim say, don't give me new categories. Don't give me a new category of Chimum. We have one category, Bishal, right? It's already Mevushal and it didn't go away. So you're not going to be Chayev the second time. In other words, you're not going to be Chayev just for Chimum. You're only going to be Chayev for Bishal. When it comes to water that was never cooked, so the first time you heat it up, that's not only Chimum, that'll be Bishal. But the second time you're heating it up, that's only Chimum, and that's not Chayev according to the Mekilim. So again, what emerges then is, according to the Machmirim, that Yesh Bishalach Bishal Balach, what are they saying in Svara? That you're chayev not only for Bishal, but you're chayev for Chimum, if the Chimum is significant, meaning that it's making it edible. If I reheat solid, that's not significant Chimum, because it was already edible before. But if I reheat liquids, I'm making it edible again. So that is significant. But if you go with the Mekilim, so you're holding, there's no such thing as Chimum. So based on this, I will, in Lomdus, try to just go through the Makoros, based on the Rishonim, to try to analyze a very difficult Shaila, Halach L'maisa. Can I go from Yatza lettuce bowl liquid to cold sorko liquid? Whatever the cold sorko is, which is probably less than 212, but whatever people will consider to be totally hot for purposes of eating it at that point, a hot soup, a hot tea. So if you go with the approach, again, there are many different possibilities and possibilities and possibilities, but let's just go to Derech HaMelech here. If you go with the approach of the Machaber, who holds Yesh, Bishalach Bishal Balach in Svara, what is he saying here? That what is Bishalach Bishal Balach? Chimum. Okay, so if that's the case, what's the definition of Cham in Halacha? Yatza lettuce bowl. So if I take Cham and then I bring it up to Kol Sarko, so what am I doing? I'm not being Mechamim it more. It's already Cham. But if I go with the approach of the Ramah, who quotes the Mekilim, that what? That ain't bishalach bishal balach, which means what? That there ain't no such thing as chimum. There's one definition, bishal, right? So what should be the halacha if I go from yad to lettuce bowl to kol tzarko? Okay. That should be parallel to machal ben rasoi to kol tzarko, not totally cooked to totally cooked. So it should be yasser. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, even though the achronim take different sheetahs on this, or Moshe's mekel. And the Shabbos kitchen, for example, in the Shvita Shabbos, a machmir, Rabbi Willick thought Allah should be machmir. Why? Because according to the Ramah, we paskin like the Ramah, that who quotes that daya, we'll get to it later, the Ramah didn't quite paskin that way, but it'll work out for that daya too. According to the Ramah quotes the daya that ain't bishalach a bishal balach, so according to that, the definition is really bishal, so that means to go from Yatz Lettuce, but a cold circle should be awesome in a Torah.
So he made the kulas into chumras?
So yeah, so kula becomes a chumra, and the chumra becomes a kula. Now, I'm sorry?
So when would the kula apply?
The Ramah?
Yeah.
No, the kula would apply if it was already cooked cold sorko, so then you could drop not only to Yatz Lettuce Bo, which the Mechaber lets you, but even to Lonenstein and Legamri, to remember to reheat it. If it was already cooked. If it was never cooked to cold sorko, even once, so then the Ramah could turn out to be a chumra. Now, let me just add that which I said within the Mechaber is not Mukhruch, and this is something that the Magen Avraham and the Shvisa Shabbos deal with, that it could be even the Mechaber would be Machmer on this question for the following reason. Because when the Mechaber said, the way we phrased it, that when you're chayev for reheating the chicken soup, you're chayev for chimum, well, that chicken soup was once totally cooked, so you already did the bishul totally, right? But when it comes to water, that's only Yatz lettuce bowl, and it never got up to Kolt Sarko, even once. So maybe the Mechaber will be Machmer too. Because for the Mechaber, it could be that when it comes to liquids, you have to worry about two issues. Bishal, so you're going to have to get it up to Kol Tzarko at least once. And Chimum, meaning you'll have to maintain Yatza lettuce bowl. Right? So for the Ramah, for sure it'll be Yasser. For the Mechaber, that's going to depend on when it comes to liquids, we're only concerned about Chimum, or we're even concerned about Bishal too. So again, Lahalacha, Rabbi Willick thought that according to Mechaber, it's Suffolk whether you can go from Yatza lettuce bowl to Kol Tzarko the first time, and for the Ramah, he thought it was Yasser. Now let's, okay, you had a question?
But he would say that in the Bishal after Bishal case, you could go from Yatz Lettuce Bo to, Mechaber would say you could go from Yatz Lettuce Bo.
That for sure. You can't be more Machmir than that.
No, that's a cool.
You can't be more Machmir than, so say it again.
In the Bishal after Bishal case, yeah. According to the Mechaber, you can go Yatz Lettuce Bo to Kol.
What do you mean Bishal after Bishal? Did it ever get to Kol Tzarko?
It got to Kol Tzarko already and went down, and it's going down to Yatz Lettuce Bo.
And then you can go up. Right. Everyone agrees to that. No one could be Machmir than that.
Really?
I just from Metzias, I'll give you a.
I thought we just said the Ramah is going to be Machmir in that case.
No, the Ramah would be machmir if it was never cooked cold tzarko.
Oh.
Never was there at all. So even to go from yatz to lettuce boat, cold tzarko would be yasser. And once it got the cold tzarko, the Ramah would throw in a kula that you could be, if it cooled down more, as long as it's on a sign of the gami, you could reheat it. Okay, so for the Ramah, you need cold tzarko at least once. For the Mechaber, it's a suffix whether you need cold tzarko even once with respect to liquids. Maybe yatz lettuce will be sufficient. Yes?
Is cold tzarko by liquids, are we mind that only as reaching that temperature or reaching that temperature for a certain amount of time?
Does
it stay there for a certain amount of time?
Why? Why should it have to reach the temperature for a certain amount of time?
Because don't cold something that you hit that temperature and then it stops.
Well, this gets involved in something that the clock keeps ticking. We've got a lot to cover. If you want to be very detailed about it, when you cook a chicken soup, you're doing two things. You're cooking the water, you're making the water green, and you're cooking the chicken. So you're going to have to do a mathematical subdivision over here. What are you talking about? What needs that extended kind of period? So you're not going to need it for the water, per se. You're going to need it to make the soup, and you're going to need it for the chicken. So you have to work all those details out. You're correct in assuming, like with chicken soup, to call it cold tzarko, you're going to need it to simmer at for a long period of time, that the chicken soup should be cold tzarko. That's a good point. But if you're dealing with water, cold tzarko is going to be reached that instantaneously, right? As soon as it reaches, 180, so then it's cold tzarko. Okay. Okay. So here, even though we reject the prima gaudium, but there might be an afkamina, you know, in terms of whether that's to simmer. Okay, I don't want to cause dizzying based on that. Now let's approach the Ramah. I'm a little bit ambitious trying to cover all the chaburas together with the Shulchan Aruch, but we'll see what we can do till 4:30. Okay, or maybe a drop after. All right, the Ramah makes a pshara. What's pshara in the pshara? Lone is tana legamri. So again, you can drive yourself batty on this because every possibility you have, meaning what? The Ramah could be a fundamental position, meaning it's min haTorah, which was the approach taken by Rav Soloveitchik. As well as others, as we'll see. The Ramah could be a Chumrah, meaning that really holds that Ein Bishalach Bishabalach, like the Magid Mishnah, Rashba, Ran, except he throws in a Chumrah. The simple pshat in that Chumrah would be, because people get confused. If they're going to see you really eating a chicken soup, they'll think you could cook anything on Shabbos. So at least you have to have Lonestan al-Gamri, so people realize that this was cooked before. And within those two positions, whether Ramah is a Chumrah midrabanan or it's a fundamental din min haTorah, you could have two possibilities as to what lo nistana legamri means. Bipshuto, if you go with the approach that the Ramah is a Chumrah midrabanan, some kind of later Chumrah, so then what should be the definition of lo nistana legamri? Above room temperature, because that's enough to ward off any possible mistake that people will make. They'll realize this was cooked before. But if you go the approach that's fundamental, meaning somehow, if it's nistan and legami, it's azalei bishulo. The original bishul is not there anymore. So then what should follow is it should still have to be edible as hot. Right? Lo nistan and legami would be that temperature which people would consider it barely edible, but edible as hot. So the reason why I hedge here is because you have crossovers. Rabbi Soloveitchik was a fundamentalist here. He felt that the Ramah was giving you a hachra min haTorah, but he held that the definition of the Ramah was above room temperature. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, who was a non-literalist here, non-fundamentalist in the Ramah, he felt the Ramah was just throwing in a chumrah. He holds that the definition of lo nistan in legamri is edible as hot. Same, so it doesn't line up quite as you'd like it to. So just to analyze that in turn. If you go with the approach that the Ramah is saying a Chumrah midrabanan, okay, it's a Chumrah midrabanan, that's the Mashmos and Mishnah Berurah, that we rely on the Mekilim B'chai Gavna, that's Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Sari Tes, and it's the approach of Moshe Feinstein Tzatzal, it's the approach of the Chazon Ish, and others as well. If you go with the approach of the what I call the fundamental approach, with the approach of Rabbi Soloveitchik and Rabbi Willig, without going into all the details, but he suggested that a careful reading of the Rishonim, upon whom the Dark Yamosha is quoting his positions from, is that it's Asa Min haTorah. What's the Svara? So we mentioned it briefly before. Just like we mentioned before, this idea of Lo Nitzdanein, of Ozalei Bishulo, which motivated the Mechaber to say that chicken soup that's cold, you can't reheat, because Azalei Bishulo. So the Ramah has that also, but in a different way. Meaning what? If it's totally cold, they'll agree to the mechaber that it's azalei bishulo. But if it's edible, it's hot. So then, it's lo azalei bishulo or lo azalei chimumo, because you could still eat it as hot. I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's an afkamina between the two again?
Between the fundamental approach, non-fundamental approach. I'll discuss that in a moment. Let me just mention the misunderstanding of the Ramah. I'll review that again. According to the fundamental understanding of the Ramah, so we have is the following. Basically, we have to be concerned about Yesh Bishalach Bishal Balach. But unlike the Mechaber, who says that if it drops below Yad Soledis Bo, that's where it's a problem, because as we mentioned earlier, the Mechaber seems to be more concerned about Chimum issues, right? The Ramah is more concerned about Bishal issues. What's the issue? What do we mean by Bishal issues? What does Bishal do? It makes it edible. So if it's still edible, it's lo azalei bishulo. Again, I take a chicken soup, boiled it up, it's totally cooked. And now the temperature starts dropping. It dropped the Yad Soledis Bo. Says the Ramah, big deal, it dropped the Yad Soledis Bo. So it's not hot. But it's still edible. And after all, that's what we're dealing with here. We want to know, is it Mevushal? So if it drops below Nitzanin Lagamri, it's Nitzanin Lagamri, it's not edible anymore. So it's Azalei Bishulo. But if you say, meaning because Bishul defined as making something edible, and now it's not edible anymore. But if you say that, but if it hasn't dropped below Lonestein and Lagamri, meaning it's still edible as hot, so then you could correctly state, according to Ramah at least, Lo Azalei Bishulo. I'm sorry? Okay, as we discussed before, maybe that's a low plug, right? That's a good point. It's very correct.
It's typically a low plug when you're talking about something that still it does require shekel.
Yeah, absolutely. I had problems with this whole loop. I just heard this last year. Last year the shayla came up, and it was conceptually. So what about ketchup? What about fruit soup? So I heard from Rav Schechter, and the name of Rav Schechter is low plug. Again, we'll leave that for now. We're really a little bit behind the schedule. Okay, so let me say it this way. Again, I mentioned before all the possibilities. Let's say what I consider to be the Derech HaMelech here. I want to give two nafkaminas between the fundamental approach to the Ramah and meaning that it's Asa Min HaTorah, meaning that if it's Lo Nitzan HaLagamri, it's Lo Azalei Bishulo, but if it's Nitzan HaLagamri, it's Azalei Bishulo, and the Rabbanan approach to the Ramah, meaning that it's just examining the Rabbanan unless people come to cook uncooked foods. If you go with the Rabbanan approach to the Ramah, so then Pashtus, the definition of Lo Nitzan HaLagamri, should be above room temperature. That's the Pashtus. Which is, who says that explicitly? I don't remember who has exactly that position. But that in Svar, that should be the case. If you go with the Rabbanan approach of the Ramah, so it should follow that you should be very little concern about residual drops of in a bowl of soup or a cup of tea, only a few drops left, and now I want to do Iroi on it. But I'm doing Bishul on it, because by the time I'm going to do a second cup, it's already totally cold. But it's only the Rabbanan that people are going to think you're cooking. No one even sees those drops. No one thinks about those drops. It's not going to be Aser. Which is indeed the main Svara that leads the Chazon Ish and Moshe Feinstein and others as well to be Mekel on exactly that Shaila. Because it's only a Chumah Rabbanan. If you go with the fundamental approach, though, that it's Asa Min HaTorah, so Pashtus, the definition of Lo Nitzan and Lagamri, should be what? Still edible as hot? Because if it's not edible as hot anymore, so we should say Azalei Bishulo. And in terms of the drops, you're going to have to come up with other kulis if you want to make it mutter. So Rabbi Willig himself was very hesitant to be makel at all when it came to the drops, based on the Madura Basra that he held that the Ramah is fundamentally usher. And therefore, because he held that the main kula that they really gave was the fact that it's only a Chumad Rabbanan. If you hold it's Asa Min HaTorah, so Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah. So even if you have a few drops, you should dry it. So it dries people a little batty in the kitchen. Every time you take a second cup of tea, you got to take a new cup or to dry it out again. But I will have thought, I guess at least for B'nai Torah, that was the proper practice. However, I just want to mention, this is neither in the Mishnah Berurah nor in the Chabur, so this is put up brackets, not on the test. If you look in the classic poskim, poskim manenu, that is, not everyone's so excited about the drops, regardless of how you slice it. For example, I just quote the Shabbos Kitchen quotes a day. He quotes this from the Deborah Tzina Rav, the Ber Moshe. He says, we never found anyone be machmer in this. He says, Eitel Rabbanon Kashi Shoi, and he even goes further. He says, they take the cup from the dishwasher. They have hot water, but even cold water, right? And what they would do is they would just shake out the cup, give it a good shake, so there's no like be'en there. Yes, you can have maybe a drop or two, just moisture. I think I really also was masking l'kula, but you'll probably have at least a drop you could see. He says lo matzino that anyone's machmer in this, and all the more so if it's already mavushel in advance. So then you have some other kulas too. So again, halacha l'maisa, many svarim are machmer in this, to at least if it's totally cold and never cooked before, that you should dry it. And if it's totally, if it was cooked and it dried out, so no safer is machmer in that. No kids are safer is machmer in that. Everyone's makel on that. And I will exhort the chumrah based on the fundamental approach to the Rambam. Because he said, if you look through the sources, the only reason Reb Moshe, not the only reason, but the main reason Reb Moshe and the Chazon Ish were makel, because they understood the Rambam, not the chumrah of the Rabbanim. So if you take that out based on analysis that Rishon and the Rambam is getting it from, so then it turns out the chumrah. But I just wanted to share halalacha, you know, but many people don't dry it out even the first time. So I'm just saying there are coolest that people are relying on, even if it's totally cold. But it was never cooked. But the lemaisa, if it's totally cold, most poskim amachmir. If it was cooked before, so most poskim amekel, I will exhort l'chumra based on this analysis around all. Yeah. Yeah, but chatzi shir is usher in a Torah. That's still usher. I know, yes, but lemaisa amachmir and irui. So you're pointing out you could be mitzari for a few things together. What Albert is pointing out, you could maybe be makel based on a svek sveka, because irui might not be mevashel, and maybe it's a bishalach v'shabalach. Okay, so you might have, and if it's a chatzi shir, so we're dealing with a lower level iser. Anyway, I don't mean to chas v'shalom override the Rebbe. I'm just part of what I consider to be my job in the Chabur is sometimes to point out where Rova Poskim are not necessarily consistent with the particular Rosh Hashiva, even though it's Moiva Rabbi, who I learned the most of my Torah from. Yeah.
According to the Shulchan Aruch Chaber, though, like for sure it should be in the Shiva residual drops.
Well, that depends on which kula you're going from, right?
I
think even Rabbi Vaj is making on this. So again, either because he's relying on the other kulas. What are some of the other kulas? Psikereshet lo nichale on a chatzi shir, psikereshet lo nichale on a suffik bishul. Right? Well, he wasn't so happy about the old psikereshet lo nichale, because what do you mean it's lo nichale? Let's say it wouldn't get hot, so then you'd be drinking your tea, and all of a sudden you'd get like a cold drop. So you don't want it to be cold; you want it to blend in with the rest. So he wasn't so happy about the other coolers. So that's why he thought the main cooler was the non-fundamentalist approach of the Ramah, which he thought was wrong. So that's why he was machmir. Okay. We continue. What is the shear of Yatza lettuce bowl? Sorry, Willig noted. Nobody knows. Anywhere from 104 degrees to 160 degrees, so maybe 175. So Bikitsur, Willig pointed out that if you just go through the sugya space in the Rishonim, what emerges is two different mahalchim in the Rishonim as to how you measure it. So if you're going to have two different mahalchim in the Rishonim, how to measure it, that will explain the multiple shurim that the Achronim have come up with in terms of Yatza lettuce bowl. So I just wanted to mention the machlokis and the how we see and that each region holds like that, and the nafkaminas between the two. One approach to Yatza lettuce bowl would be that you measure it by surprise. Meaning, if someone touched hot water, not realizing it was hot water, he would jump back instinctively. Of course, that shear would be a lower shear, because people, let's say, might jump back with 110 degree water if they're not expecting it. But if they are expecting it, then they'll be able to take it. Just a mashal, even though it's not the scientific mashal. A lot of you, after you finish taking a shower, so look at your back in the mirror and you'll see your back is red. What's pshat? That's a mild first degree burn. Mild. It'll go away very soon. But basically, the water was scalding enough to burn your skin. Ah, fool. Why'd you burn yourself? Because you're expecting it. So there's a certain gishmak in very hot water. We'll see. The Rishonim give that exact example of, you know, fool, so on and so forth. If you go with that approach of surprise, it's a lower shear. Who holds this way? Well, Rabbi Willig was Medayik from... one second. Okay, let me say the other pshat, then we'll get to the view. What's the other approach? The other approach is even when you expect it. In other words, water that you couldn't hold your hand into even if you brace yourself. So that's, of course, going to be a higher shear. Okay, now, what are some of the sources for these Rishonim and what will be the Nafkaminas? So, the Rishonim, who seem to go with the higher shear, are Rashi and the Ramban. Where do we see the Rashi and the Ramban say that? They don't use higher shear or lower shear. Because Rashi says on the Gemara that what's Yatz Veletz Bo? Says the Gemara, Kreso Sheltinek Nichves Bo. That's like saying, what's 90 degrees Fahrenheit? 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Whatever, 27 degrees centigrade. You gave a shear, so that's the shear. Yatz Veletz Bo is Yatz Veletz Bo. So why did the Gemara have to give a different shear? Where the baby's stomach is going to get burned. So Rashi says, in answer to that question, because some people are different. Some people are soleid mecham muat. Some people are soleid mecham aruba. But a baby, you didn't ask. No one's going to be a sadist to pour on top of a baby's stomach. But if it happens, baby gets burned. So then you know approximately what kind of hot water is going to do that. So what's Rashi saying over here? It sounds like from Rashi, Yesh soleid michal muach, yesh soleid michal meruba, meaning if a person is going to stick their hand in knowing it's hot, so some people will jump back at a certain temperature, some people will jump back at a lower temperature. Ah, maybe Rashi means by surprise. Well, if Rashi meant by surprise, I have a simpler reason why you have to give a different shear of Yatz Veletz Bo. Namely, how could you rig a surprise experiment? But you're going to back some water into someone as he's backing up and hope he sticks his hand in and see if he jumps back. A simple shot why you can't measure Yatz Veletz Bo directly. Because it's a surprise. So you got to give a shear. It happens by mistake. The fact that Rashi gave that other shot is mashma. Again, you probably could be doche, but it's mashma that it's going by an anticipated shear. Even more mashma is the Ramban. Because there is a Gemara that says, I'm not allowed to wet my hands with cold water and put them by the fire. Why? Gemara never says. So the Ramban says, because you're bathing. And that's one of the makoros for those who have shown him a hole that you're not allowed to bathe in hot water that was heated on Shabbos, even if it's posherin. Even though it's not your whole body, right? It's just your hands. But since it was heated on Shabbos, it's also even just your hands. And even though it's not Yatz Veletz Bo, says the Ramban. But it's an Issur Rechitza. Of course it's not Yatz Veletz Bo, says the Ramban. Because which fool is going to keep their hands there until the hands are going to be until the water is going to be Yatz Veletz Bo? So what's the Ramban saying? What do you mean, which fool? It's nice, you know, like a shower. So the Ramban is obviously going with the hotter shear of Yatz Veletz Bo. That's why he's saying that no one's going to keep it there till it gets hot, that even with anticipating it, I'm going to jump back. So therefore the Ramban is forced into interpreting that Gemara that it's talking about Rechitza and nothing to do with Bishul. So again, Rashi, to some extent, the Ramban, pretty beferish, is saying that there's a higher shear of Yatz Veletz Bo. The Balamor and the Rambam on that very same Gemara with the cold water say that the problem is not one of Bishul. Excuse me, it's not one of Rechitza, but it's rather one of Bishul, because you might leave your hands there until Yatz Veletz Bo. Ah, but what about the Ramban's Taina? So the Ramban holds that people are not foolish, and the Rambam holds that people are foolish, right? Obviously not. So the Rambam is saying that you can keep your hands there till it's Yatz Veletz Bo if you're expecting it. So obviously the Rambam is going with the approach that Yatz Veletz Bo is measured by surprise, lower shear. So what emerges from this analysis is that for the Ramban and Rashi, it goes by anticipating it, therefore it's a higher shear. For the Rambam and the Baal HaMor, it goes by the lower shear. In a similar way, the Rashba, who by no surprise seems to be following the position of his Rebbe, the Ramban, says that you don't drink water that's Yatz Veletz Bo. And other sources seem to indicate that you do drink water at Yatz Veletz Bo. Machlokes Metzius, so once again, they're arguing about shiurim. If you go to the approach of the Ramban, so you don't drink water at Yatz Veletz Bo, just like you don't want to have it on your hands, you don't want to have it on your tongue. If you go with the Rambam's approach, so maybe you drink Yatz Veletz Bo soup all the time, because you're anticipating it. Okay, so of course this has halacha l'maaseh ramifications in terms of Yatz Veletz Bo, especially if you're Sephardi, because once it drops below Yatzel Edesbo, you can't cook anymore. So since we're machmir both ways, it would follow that once it drops below 160, you already shouldn't heat it up again on the fire or near the fire, so on and so forth. If you're an Ashkenazi, you have more to play with, Lonestan Lagamri. But Raywillig noted that since that some Rishonim define Lonestan Lagamri as Korov Liatzel Edesbo, so that's an Afkamina Fashkenazim too, that it should be, let's say, 150, 145, but it shouldn't be 105, something like that. And it also has an Afkamina the first time. You're not allowed to put things in an area that's going to reach Yatzel Edesbo. Reach what? So since we're machmir both ways, you shouldn't put an area that's going to reach 113, which seems to be the consensus that that's the absolute lowest shear that you could have Yatzel Edesbo at, which is 45 degrees centigrade. Yes?
Well, we're assuming that the opinions you say 160 are holding like Rashi and the Ramban, and those who hold 113 are holding like Ramban.
In Svara. And now again...
Did they say that they were holding...
Yeah, so again, this is where I really took a step back and said, what's going on over here? And he suggested that this is what leads to that approach. If you look through the sources, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who develops the 113, and Rav Moshe develops the 160, they don't really discuss it in these terms. But you could say that. And it's Mod Mestaber. Okay, so now, within this regard, we already discussed this idea. The Ramban says that... We're not concerned you're going to keep your hands there until it reaches Yatzel Edesbo because you have a built-in defense mechanism of your body, right? And the Rama said you don't because you might forget. So that svar that the Rama mentioned, that idea comes up in a few places in Masechta Shabbos. And in the Mechaber, it's mentioned in a few places as well, in Sif Vav, and Sif Yud Zayin, and Sif Yud Dalet. And basically, the common denominator in all those things is that you are not allowed to put something that's uncooked or totally cold, for the Ramah and the Mechaber certainly, below Yatzel Edesbo, in an area where it could reach, again, Yatzel Edesbo, even though you intend to take it away beforehand. So, for example, I'm going to take, let's say, mother's milk, which was never cooked before, or formula, which was cooked before, but now it's in a liquid state and it's totally cold, and I'm going to put it near the fire in an area where it could reach Yatzel Edesbo, but I'll make sure to remove it before it reaches Yatzel Edesbo. So that's what the Mechaber writes, again, in those three places, in slightly different scenarios, but it's all pretty much the same, in Vav, Yudal, Yudzayin, that you're not allowed to do that, because we're afraid you're going to forget. And that's why the Ramban, in his case, said, there you have a built-in shomer, because you don't want to burn yourself. But here you don't have a built-in shomer, because you don't have your hand there. Okay? This is R number one that was not mentioned in the Chabur. This is in the Shulchan Aruch, so I mentioned it here. Okay, a little bit about Bishlach Rafia, which was dealt with at length in the Chaburis. Just want to mention quickly the Svaris that were mentioned in the Chaburis, and then just the Halach Lamaisa. There's a Machlok we've shown him between the Urayim on the one hand and the, who is it, the Rav Yoz, the Bar Plukta, I think. And it's mentioned by the Mechaber in Sifhei, but the Yesh Bishlach Rafia and Bishlach Rafia. Rav Willig noted that the Chiluki Deis in the Achronim as to how to understand the Deah HaMachmeres. Some, which is the approach of, I think the Mogen Avraham, if I'm not mistaken, and others as well, and I think the Egli Tal goes this way as well, that it's a machlokas in halacha, similar to what we had before with the Rambam and the Rashba, meaning, are there, once it's cooked, it's cooked, I don't care how you cook it, or no, there are different flavors of, that's a bad word to use over here, there are different varieties of cooking. So just because it was baked doesn't mean that it's cooked with respect to water cooking. And just because it was water cooked doesn't mean it's cooked with respect to dry cooking. So that's a halachic approach. And then there's a flavor approach, which is the taz. It's a shinui and tam. So the fact is a shinui and tam makes it considered an extra hashbacha, an extra enhancement of the food. Again, why that's not just like mitstamek ve'yofalo has to be worked on. To be mechalik, to be mitstamek ve'yofalo, and bishlach rafia. So Rav Willig thought lahalacha that since we are machmir, at least Ashkenazim, that yesh bishlach rafia, and it's not 100% clear whether it's a halachic machlokis or a tam machlokis, so you have to be machmir for the chumris of both. So therefore what? So you take something like making toast, which it should be, at first glance, dry cooking after dry cooking, which should be mutter, but not so fast. That's if you go by the halachic approach, dry, dry. But if you go with the tam approach, toast doesn't taste the same as bread, so maybe it is usher. So the late Achronim have a diyun about this. I really thought lechumran that you should not make toast in Shabbos. Okay, even if you're doing it in an area where it's technically not violating Chazorah. Similarly, and you could rig an afkamina the other way. Rabbi Willig suggested Tzliach or Bishul. The Magen Avraham is Machmir for Tzliach or Bishul. The Shilta Giborim is Mekel for Tzliach or Bishul. If you go with the approach of Tam, so there's a change in Tam. If you roast cooked chicken, it's now going to taste roasted. But if you go with that would explain the Magen Avraham. But if you go with the Halachic approach, so Willig pointed out that since in Yoredeya, Tzli is a lower form of Bishul, because Bishul is Mevashel Kedei Kulo, Tzli is only Kedei Netila. So maybe that explains as far as Shilta Giborim. So that's in theory, because Lamaisa wa Machmer, like the Magen Avraham, because the Machmer both ways. But you could have a Matzav where, according to both angles, it'll be Mutter. How so? That's the Machaber in Sif Tetzvav, where you're reheating in a Mutter fashion near the fire chicken that was cooked. So the Be'er Halacha raises the problem that, wait a second, the Magen Avraham writes that there's Sliachar Bishul too. And the same Magen Avraham writes that, therefore, you're not allowed to take cooked chicken and put it next to the fire, because you're going to roast it. But the Mechaber says it's Mutter, and the Ramah doesn't override the Mechaber. So why not? So that's what leaves the Be'er Halacha scratching his head, so to speak, from the Beis Meir. Why was he Mekel? So Rabbi Willig suggested, because that case, you have both Kulas. There's no Shinui in Tam, because you're not leaving it there until it gets a Shinui and a roasted flavor. You're not putting it directly on the fire. It's just going to get reheated. Reheated boiled chicken doesn't taste roasted. And in terms of halacha, well, tzli is a lower form than bishul. So that's what he suggested, Mahalach, to suggest why that's mutter. So the halacha, that's from the Chaber Paskins, the Ramah Paskins the way too. And even though the Ramah and Ram argues, but it sounds like the halacha would hold it as mutter, provided you don't leave it there until it gets a roasted flavor.
Yeah. That's
a good point. I wonder about that. So if it's next to the fire, I don't know if it'll ever get a roasted flavor. But what I wonder about is if you take the cold chicken soup out of the cold chicken out of the chicken soup and then put it in a pan and then put it on the warming tray, that there, if you leave it for a while, it will get a roasted flavor. So should it be gozer in that case? I don't know. Maybe it could be mitzari if the fact that even if you do leave it, you still have some rishonim to rely on. To work on.
Which sif was this in the...
Sif hay. Sif tesvav, what I just mentioned about the cooking next to the stove. The Chazon Ish already mentioned part of it. The Chazon Ish said that it doesn't get a tam tzli. But Rabbi Willig said, but what about the Magen Avraham, who's not only worried about tam, he's worried about halachic differences. As Rabbi Willig suggested, he pulled out that Shilta Giborim, that ain't tzliach abishal, which makes sense if you go with the halachic approach. Yeah.
The Taz. The Taz who says that he assumes that's Bishul Daraisa, he thinks?
According to the Iraim, it's Bishul Daraisa, yeah. So he's explaining the Iraim. Mm-hmm. Okay? We're over, so I just have to go very, very quickly now. But within the day, so you have three Shitas in the Mechaber and the Ramah together. Although the Ramah here, he did one of his adding on to the Mechaber, when the Mechaber didn't really say it. The Mechaber quoted a Machlokis. Yesh Bishlach Harfiyah, Ein Bishlach Harfiyah. The Ramah then, within the Mechaber, he added something on. You'll see, the only way to see it is see it inside. He pointed out that there are really three Shitas here. There are those who are Machmir, even in a Klisheni. The Mechaber quoted that. That's the Urayim. You can't put bread in soup even in a Klisheni. There are those who are Mekel, at least in a Klisheni, but not in a Klirishin. And then there are those who are totally Mekel. So bottom line, there are three Shitas. The Mechaber quoted two out of the three, and the Ramah is in the third. Halacha l'maaseh, as we pointed out, the Ashkenazim are machmir. My impression is that Sfardim are mekel, which parenthetically is probably the real issue for why the Mechaber in Sif Tesvav didn't raise any issues, because he holds that it's just not a problem. That's what one of the Sassoon brothers pointed out to me. But l'maaseh, the Ramah wasn't masig on Tesvav. That's what motivates this other kind of approach. And lahalacha, the Ashkenazim said a machmir even in a klisheni, and the Mishnah Berurah suggests that maybe you can combine that with a ladle kula to consider the bowl to be a klishlishi and to put the bread in that. So that's what all the contemporary poskim write, that the kitzah books, that you could put in bread or baked croutons into your soup, provided you use the ladle and you didn't keep the ladle in the pot for too long. Rabbi Willig wasn't so excited about that. About that kula with the bread, also because he wasn't so excited about the difference between a klisheni and a klishlishi. But lamaisa, you do have other tseirufim lakula here, so he wasn't willing to override this kula totally. But He wasn't so happy about the distinction between klisheni and klishlishi. The post can point out that the small croutons that are deep fat fried, although being very unhealthy, are mutter to put into your soup, even in a klisheni, theoretically even in a klirishin, shelo al gabi ha'esh, because deep fat fried is the equivalent of bishul. Okay, we have a lot to cover, and time is short. So, I think I'll go for 5 more minutes, and whatever up to then, we'll leave for the next chabura. Kli Rishon, off the fire, is what the Mechaber calls Toldos Ha'ur. So that's also Mevashel. A Kli Rishon, Shelo Al Gabei Ha'esh, is Mevashel. Practically everything. When I say practically everything, so there might be an exception to the rule. There might be 2 exceptions to the rule. One is Aksmit, Bisra de Tura, and the other is Melach. Because the Gemara has 2 days about this. About one day is that Tzricha Milcha Bishula Kibisra de Tura. So that statement implies, number one, that Aksmit doesn't cook in a Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabei Ha'esh, and that Melach, meaning probably means a chunk of salt, doesn't cook in a Kli Rishon Shelo Al Gabei Ha'esh. However, Halach Lamaisa, we're Machman both. Why? Because even though theoretically the ox meat is not going to cook in a Kli Rishon Gabei Ha'esh, but the juices in it will cook. And that's why you can't put anything in a Kli Rishon Gabei Ha'esh, not even ox meat. And the Ramah points out that there's another day in the Gemara that salt not only cooks in a Kli Rishon Shelo Gabei Ha'esh, but even in a Kli Sheni. So Halach Lamaisa wa Machmir. But that's a theoretical kula. There are deis that are makel that way in terms of Bisra de Tura and salt. But a Kli Rishon Shelo Gabei Ha'esh basically cooks everything. What's considered a Kli Rishon? So obviously it's something that was on the fire. What if I transfer the object that was on the fire, the steak or the potato, and I put it into another dish? So that should theoretically be called a Kli Sheni, and indeed that's what the Psak of the Ramah and Yerodea. But the Marshal, as is well known, is Machmir, that a Dover Gush maintains its original status of Kli Rishon because there's only a small point of contact between it and the cold surface of the Kli Sheni, and therefore he treats it like a Kli Rishon. Halach l'maisa, as we mentioned before, we're machmir that way, that a davar gush is like a Kli Rishon. That's the psak in the Mishnah Berurah at least. I don't know what the Sephardi psak is. And therefore, you shouldn't put any uncooked foods on top of a davar gush. However, even if it's in a Kli Sheni, or even if it's in a Kli Shlishi, or a Kli Revi, or a Kli Chamishi, because the Marshal holds that's all a Kli Rishon, since it's a davar gush. However, the post can point out, you don't have to combine all the chumras together. So if you take pre-cooked liquids, even though they're cold now, or something like ketchup, even though by ketchup there might be other coolest too, as we noted before, you could put it on your hot burger or your hot potato, or same thing with margarine, which is also cooked, because you don't have to combine all the chumras together. But at least by non-cooked foods, you shouldn't put like pepper on top of a hot potato or a hot piece of chicken, even in a cliche. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that in a few places, amongst them is Sif Katan Kuf Yud Ches and Sif Katan Mem Hei. What about a ladle? Allah of a Kli Rishon, Allah of a Kli Sheni. This is a machlokis, it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Pesayin. On the one hand, it's being stuck into a Kli Rishon, so maybe it should be a Kli Rishon. On the other hand, it wasn't heated by the fire itself. So maybe it should be called a Kli Sheni. So Allah is a machlokis, and as to be expected, at least Ashkenazim are machmer in this. But Rabbi Willig pointed out that the Chazon Ish makes a distinction between a ladle that's put into a pot that's on the fire, when you're going to have a machlokis and we're machmir, as opposed to a ladle that's put into a pot that's off the fire, which is going to have the status of Kli Sheni, because Kli Rishon has to have some kind of connection to the fire, and this ladle never had a connection to the fire if it's off the fire. Not all poskim accept that kula of the Chazon Ish, but many do quote it lahalacha. So especially combined with that Mishnah Berurah concerning the bread, is what to rely on if you're going to be somech on the kula of a Kli Shlishi.
But doesn't the Chazon Ish not hold the Kli Shlishi in
general? Right, okay. So so what would be the nafkamina? It would be a nafkamina whether that which you... we'll have a nafkamina number one when you stick the ladle, when you pick the ladle up and you put something in it. Is that Kli Sheni, Kli Rishon? It also I have a nafkamina for Kli Shlishi. You got to look at that Chazon Ish. Fundamentally, he doesn't hold the distinction between Kli Sheni and Kli Shlishi. If it's through a back door, he has certain coolness. I didn't see it inside in this round, so I can't comment intelligently. But look at the Chazon Ish's words inside. He points out that most things don't cook in a Kli Shlishi. So it's hard. It's not so pasha to extend the chumra, the magen avraham, that everything's kali abishal to a kli shlishi. So look at the words inside. I don't want to misquote him. Okay, kli rishon. Next, irui. What story with irui? So the machaber paskin sif yud irui is mevashel. We noted earlier that there's a three-way machlokas. We've shown him on this. Some say it's mevashel kedei kulo. Some say it's mevashel kedei klipa, and some say it's not mevashel at all. It only causes blia. So the Mechaber is Machmir. Which position is the Mechaber Machmir for? So the Mishnah Berurah says the Mechaber is Machmir for the position that it's Mevashal Kedei Klipa, which is the way of Machmir in Yoredeah. Rabbi Willick thought that for Shabbos we should be Machmir like the most Machmir position, namely, it's Mevashal Kedei Kulo. What's an Afkamina? Either way, it's Aser. Because the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says you could take a baby bottle with uncooked liquid in it, or certainly cooked liquid that's cold in it, and pour on top of it from a kli rishon. Why? Because the bottle is the klipa. If it's only a vashik de klipa, so the only thing halachically is cooking is the bottle. Rabbi Willick thought that you shouldn't do that. You should only put the bottle into a kli sheni. You shouldn't pour on it directly, because there are some rishonim also vashik de kulo. That's irui. What about irui shenizchal? What is irui shenizchal? So most of you are learning Yoredeah. Basically it means I pour something and then it goes on a cold surface. And then it hits whatever it is in question. So let's say, for example, yeah, I have steak and I have a hot milk. And instead of pouring the hot milk directly on the steak, it goes on a cold surface and then bumps into the hot steak. So la halacha, we are machmir. That's also mevashel. So that's why Rabbi Willick thought that Rabbi Kiva Eger, who suggested that Lagabe Shabbos could be makel and irish and nischal to create it like a klisheni, it's very questionable, because la'alacha, we hold Irish and Yisrael as Aser. End of story. If you want to see more about the Yoredeah, ins and outs, back and forth, and so on and so forth, you got to learn Yoredeah. If you never learn Yoredeah, you're not going to appreciate any of this. So, just quoted this. And just the one last word about Irui, which is the Mishnah Berurah, and Sif Katan, Ayin Dalid. Actually, if you'll bear with me for one more second, one more minute, just so we can knock off Irui and start with Klisheni next time. Two more words about Irui. What about Irui shenifsa kakiluach? Meaning what? It went like this. So then the hot water is floating through the air, not connected to the pot, and then hits something. So do I consider that to be a klisheni or a kli rishon? Says the Mishnah Berurah, lecharchila I consider that to be a kli rishon, but the evad I consider that to be a klisheni. Rabbi Willick suggested that maybe even lecharchila you can consider it to be a klisheni in whatever is mutter in a klisheni, which is not too much. Because in Yoredeah, we're machmir that Irui shenifsa kakiluach is mavliya, meaning it causes bliya, but we're not machmir that causes bishul. So Shabbos, we're concerned about bishul. Final word, just to present it more formally, and this is the machaber in Se'if. Se'if, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis. Basically, the rule is the following. I have hot water in a klisheni. So klisheni and mevashel. And one of the few things that the Gemara says explicitly I'm allowed to put into a klisheni is water. That's this case right here. So I put my cold water into the klisheni hot water. What happens to the water? It becomes yatzal lettuce bowl. So the Gemara says, don't worry about it. Next time we'll try to chazer over that mahalach I really had. Why should I worry about it? It just became yatzal lettuce bowl. But lemais is mutter. Klisheni. What if the hot water is in a klirishin? So then I put cold water in it. I gotta worry about it. But says the Mechaber and the Mishnah Berurah's explanation. If I put so much hot, cold water into this hot water, that by the time I'm done, everything's cold, or below Yatz Lettuce Bo, then it's not a problem. According to where Machmir would have to be below 113. Says the Chai Adam, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, but you better make sure to pour it, not slowly, but do a plop. Because if you do it slowly, so the stuff you're pouring originally is going to get hot. Okay? And then you have different kind of scenarios like that. Let's say I'm doing Irui. I'm pouring hot water into cold water. So, you know the rules. If I'm pouring so much hot water into the cold water that the cold water is going to get hot, then it's Aser. If I'm not pouring so much cold water into the hot water, into the cold water, Adarabah, the cold water on the bottom is going to cool down the hot water on the top. So then it's Mutter. Similarly, if I take a hot pot straight off the fire, no food in it, and now I pour cold water in it, Mutter or Aser? Well, it depends. If the net result after I pour the cold water in it is going to be cold, it's Mutter. If the net result after I put a cold water in it is going to be hot, then it's Aser. And based on that Chai Adam, if it's eventually going to get cold, but if you're going to go slowly, then it's going to heat up. So then you got to do it as a plop. Okay? The one chumrah that the Mechaber mentions is that if they were dealing with a bathtub, right? So even if the bathtub is a kli sheni, so some rishonim are machmir, and that's the way the Ramah is machmir. Did I say Mechaber? It really should be Ramah. The Ramah speaks about a bathtub, but the Mechaber speaks about a bathtub, but the Ramah throws in, even if the bathtub is a kli sheni, we consider that special exception to the rule to be like a kli rishon. So you cannot put water into a hot bathtub. Lanias Daiti, I gotta research this, but I don't think that's gonna apply to a baby bath. If you, let's say you pour hot water from your urn into a little baby tub, because your baby's soiled and has all over the place, you gotta clean it on Shabbos. Clean him or her on Shabbos. I don't think that's the chumrah of Ambati. Here we're talking about an Ambati in the bathhouse that they heated up stark, and then they took the water and poured it into another bathtub. But that's in the bathhouse. I don't know if that's going to apply to the household baby bath.
It's more like a
plastic
bowl.
All it is a plastic bowl. Why should you call that a bathtub? So, why are we machmer in a bathtub? So Rabbi Eider says that the pashtus is because marasayim. Who's going to know that that's a kli sheni? So hot. Looks like a kli rishon. The Chai Adam writes that that's a new chumrah. It's important, that's why I want to mention it. Yad nichves bo. What's yad nichves bo? That's above yad seletis bo. It's the temperature at which that if you would stick your hand in, your hands will literally sizzle. Right? Yad nichves bo. Says the Chai Adam, you know why a bathtub and a kli sheni is usher? It's usher min haTorah. It's not a chumrah because of marasayin. It's usher min haTorah. Because a kli sheni that has piping hot water in it, Yad Nichves Bo, is also in a Torah. The Mishnah Brura in Sif Katan, Mem Ches, quotes the Chai Adam LaHalacha, which is a massive chumrah. Because many times, as soon as you get water from the urn, it's going to be Yad Nichves for another minute or two. So I spoke to Sozari Willig, and he noted that we treat that Chai Adam just as a chumrah. Because the Iker Hadin is, the Chai Adam is actually based on a Rambam, I don't want to go into it now. But he brings a raya from the Ambati. The Iker reading of the Ambati is not because it's Yad Nichves Bo, but because it's Marasayin. But the basic approach is that you're allowed to put water into a kli sheni, even if the water is very hot, with the exception of an Ambati. And here's what we mentioned before. You take cold water, and you pour hot water into the cold water. And after you're all done, the cold water is now hot. What? So you just violated Irui. So that's what I mentioned to you before. The Be'er Halacha quotes the Tur, that water into water is not called Irui, it's called Kli Sheni, because you view it as if the water mixed right away and then became a Kli Sheni. So LaHalacha, we certainly wouldn't be making on that L'Chachila, but B'di'evid, that's one of the Snifim that I mentioned before, when you pour hot into cold, that B'di'evid is one. Okay. In previous years, I didn't do the whole... We're finished. Just mentioning why we went so long. In previous years, I didn't cover the whole Ma'aseh Shabbos. That's one of the few things that I really didn't really focus on in the Chavurah. So this year I covered it first thoroughly, I hope. So that's why we went a little over, because everything got backed up because of that.
Just a quick question.
Okay. Hatzlacha. So the next Chavurah will be in 2 or 3 weeks down the line. So we'll make an announcement.
Quick question. How would you define Mara?